Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hello, my Dream Big listeners. How is everyone today? I'm great. I had an awesome weekend, and I'm just still floating from it. I'm a little fuzzy from it, too, I think. But I just, every day, I tried to find something that just felt, you know, like a positive twist to everything. And, you know, sometimes that can be hard, especially when you get tired, when you run down. You know, in the summer, we're all like running to the next thing. It seems like our calendars are so full and we kind of don't take time to breathe. And so that's why every morning I make sure I get up and do my yoga, make sure I do meditation, make sure I journal, make sure I read my little angel book that has this great message. And then also, you know, I do end up on Facebook, but I try to find some very positive things. Well, today, I'm very excited to say that we have an incredible guest. What she didn't know, I don't think, is that when my father passed away 2 years ago, I had a hard time getting out of bed. I had a hard time finding gratitude. I had a hard time just really... I just wanted life to stop for a second so I could deal with the pain and deal with the grief. I didn't want to keep going and jumping back into life. And there was one thing on Facebook that kept connecting with me, and it was some woman who kept posting about gratitude. And she would have these beautiful photos and these beautiful statements, and it would just stop me in my tracks. And a lot of times it'd make me cry, but a good cry. And it would cause me to really dig deep to figure out that my life, I had a lot to be grateful for. And yes, grief is really, really difficult. And I'd never been through it to this extent. But there was something about her warmth from her posts that really got me out of bed every morning. And so, lo and behold, the universe takes care of it itself. And she reached out to me, and we're going to be working with her son to do some videography for some of my Dream Big clients and some of my music, actually. And little did I realize that this is the same person that got me out of bed. So, Amy Martacci, I want you to say hello to all my Dream Big listeners. You there, Amy?
I am here. Okay. It's such an honor.
Well, it's great to have you with me and with all of us today. And you know, I guess we're just going to jump right in. Can you tell everyone what it's like to do the extent of gratitude that you do, and explain really about your own life and everything that you've conquered and are still in the fight with? I guess we start from there.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to share. It began 15 years ago when my husband committed suicide. And I had two young sons, and I knew, everybody says, well, how do you do it? How do you stay positive? But a lot of times, life doesn't give you a choice. You just have to stay strong and endure what comes at you. It's not easy, of course, so I had to make a very conscious effort to strengthen my gratitude practice. So besides my husband committing suicide and now me being an only parent to my sons, I had some other circumstances, some other tragic deaths in our family. And I remember laying in the grass in my backyard one day, thinking, wow, we've really had to endure a lot. My older son's autistic. My younger son is gay, which I'm so proud of both of them, but they each come with their own uniqueness mm-hmm. and individuality that I like to treat them as individuals. Mm-hmm. And I remember laying in my beautiful acre backyard going, okay, Amy, I'm pretty impressed with how you've handled life so far. How can I share that with others? How can I take what I've had to go through and turn it into a positive? And I don't know if it's the practice or if I was just blessed with the ability to see things in a positive manner, mm-hmm. but I remember just continually looking for the silver lining for every circumstance.
That is amazing. I mean, you're making it yeah. sound very simple. And I mean, I think in a way that's the purest form. I mean, maybe that's what it is. We try to dig so deep, and sometimes we're just like, it could be, I don't want to say simple in the sense of obviously, you know, overcoming tragedy and living with the tragedy. And then also obstacles in the way. I just know some people who, you know, and a lot of it can be, in, you know, depression induced. How, you know, I mean, give us one of those days where, you know, you had yeah. to get up with your kids after your husband committed suicide. What, I mean, how'd you get out of bed? Some people would hide.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a great
I would.
Question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. I'm sure everybody's heard of this, you know, journaling and writing what you're grateful for every night before bed. Mm-hmm. But I took it way more. I had to find what I call, you know, the silver linings in every circumstance. For instance, when my husband passed away, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. Just like you said, the universe somehow rallies around us. And my older son, Vincent, was highly affected by the tragedy because he was older, very close to his father, and he unfortunately found him.
Oh, God.
And two months prior to his passing, my mom came about this amazing school because he wasn't doing as well in the public school system with his autism. Mm-hmm. And so they rarely ever take any new students during the middle of the school year, but it's a private school in mm-hmm. Oxford called Upland Hills. And they decided to take Vincent in kindergarten. Well, months later is when my husband passed.
Wow.
And his kindergarten teacher came up to me and said, their whole community not only rallied around us, because it was a very small, intimate setting mm-hmm. in the midst of nature.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But thing. She said, my husband died when I had a young son, and I'm here to support you.
Wow. So put
he,
somebody in
he
your
life. Took
your
my son yeah. in, and just the amount of love and how safe he felt going to school every day
wow.
was incredible. And so that was a big, wonderful moment for us. But then there was little things. I remember thinking that thank God I have an education where I can support myself, or thank God I have health insurance. There's so many women in my circumstance that are raising kids all by themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't even have family around. So I really dug deep and thought about all that I do have. And so I was continually making lists. I had an amazing support group just in my neighborhood that were there for me anytime I needed them.
Did you feel that you could reach out to them? You know, some people have a tendency to kind of become a hermit, you know, when
yeah.
they're sad and depressed. And especially, I think, with women, men do it. But women, you know, a lot of times I always say, you know, I have a big circle of girlfriends that we've known each other since we were kids. And when one of them gets quiet, we always know something's not right. They don't reach out. They don't want people to know that they're not strong enough as the way they look at it. Did you find that at the beginning struggling to reach out, or were you capable and able to, you know, say, I need help?
That is such a good question. That is very typical, you're right, of women. And that was me, definitely, always.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you come to a really low point in your life, you're right. Some people may withdraw, but I so wanted my boys to be okay and live a healthy, happy life that I ended up reaching out quite a bit.
That's good.
And that was very difficult for me because mm-hmm. I don't want to have to be dependent on anybody. And I'm such a giver by nature, and I had nothing to give at that point.
Sure.
But
right.
what I learned and I want everybody to know is that it all comes back around. Because 5 years later, when I was on my feet again, they needed my help, and I could give it to them.
Wow, that is a beautiful point.
Beautiful moment, and it helped me feel good about myself again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I think, I mean, if everyone just takes anything from this conversation, that alone, you know, it's a give and take in the world. It's one of the things I always, you know, say, if you give out love, you receive love. And it's just, and if you need it, I mean, you know, I think especially women as givers, you know, we always love to help. And just I think in that sense, if you're afraid to reach out and ask for help, think about how you feel when you do help people. So you're giving other people the opportunity to feel the same way. And I think that is a really good lesson. So thanks for bringing that to our attention. So yes, go ahead.
I'm having to go through that same scenario again.
Can you tell us why?
And I'm having to remind myself. Mm-hmm. As well, because I got diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer a year and a half ago. Mm. And my friend group and the community that has stepped up incredibly to help me out through this time, whether it's a meal or to walk my dog or to help my son. And then, you know, again, I'm having to receive and receive because I can't give.
Right.
But I have faith that it will come full circle. That I can give back eventually.
But you still are giving, because I still see your posts every day and sometimes multiple times a day. And it's so funny how you, whatever you post seems to reach whatever I'm going through. And
I've heard that so many times.
It's so true. So I feel like it is a gift from God, a gift from the universe that you give. So even when you're saying you're not capable of giving, I think let's talk about that. You know, what is, I think a lot of people think of giving as really a large kind of, you know, mountain, you know, high kind of giving, or technically some of the littlest things, which is, and I don't want to say it's little, but, you know, just your posts are a way of you still giving, even when you're not feeling well, even when, you know, you've gotten through your chemo and things like that, you're still doing it. And so, you know, it's got to be rewarding in a sense, you know?
It is. And I think it's because I also too need it very much so right now. Mm-hmm. And I know that when you're very vulnerable and you've had tragedies, it's extra important to fill your head with good thoughts.
Yes.
And so that's why it helps me significantly to read those things and to be reminded. And I'm very selective about what I read and what I let enter into my thoughts.
Right. Because we are surrounded. I found myself this year being really addicted to politics, and more so than ever, I think. And I just realized how toxic it was for me. And especially if I read the news before I went to bed or first thing in the morning. And so I just made a conscious effort because I found myself tired. And I'm like, why am I tired? And when I was stimulated or motivated was when I was doing things that I absolutely love, like, you know, my music, or, you know, working with my dream big clients, or just talking to people, or surrounding myself with positive things. But so having toxicity, it's, you know, sometimes it could be the littlest thing, but I think it's very important to be aware, right?
How much you let in. I think one of my biggest pet peeves are people who complain about the weather. To me, that's so minor.
What's your response to it?
The biggest thing, Jill, is we can't control the weather, so why complain about it?
Amen. And you know what? I don't know. Like, well, one, I love Michigan. You know, I really love Michigan. And there's people all the time that told me I should have moved to Nashville for music or California or all this. But I love Michigan, and I love it's, you know, it's not predictable. And I like to live that way. And what's wrong with rain? We can't melt. We won't melt. You know, it feeds my flowers. That's what I say when people are like, oh my God, it's raining. I'm like, I am so happy because now I don't have to take the hose all over my house and water my flowers. I mean,
And you know, we're human. Mm-hmm. I mean, I prefer a sunny day over 5 gloomy days.
Me too.
But I make it a point not to spread my frustration with it. How's that?
That's a really brilliant way. So can you give the listeners and myself an idea of what your ritual is, I guess? Like, I know my ritual in the morning. Do you have one in the morning? Do you have it during the day? Do you have a certain time, a certain place? Like, I have kind of a spiritual corner that I've dedicated to just my journaling and stuff. Do you have anything like that?
That's a great question. I'm starting to reinvent one because I got really comfortable for a while. Mm-hmm. I think I truly know that because I practice gratitude every day, that now my mind automatically goes there.
That's a great point.
It's such a blessing. I recently moved about 2 years ago, and my place of meditation and peace and spirituality was on my deck under this gorgeous, huge tree.
Oh, that's nice.
In fact, a mutual friend of ours, Patty Clark, her and I, my neighbor, would sit under that tree for hours. And it was just such a calming place where you could really let the good come through. Because, you know, you don't want everything clouded. You don't want to be able to see all the good around you.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my diagnosis, I will say in the last year and a half, I have gotten my books out again by Louise Hayes. I love.
Mm-hmm.
I have started writing every night before bed, at bedtime, what I'm grateful for. So I have gotten the practice up and running full steam ahead again.
Wonderful. So, you know, and that's one thing, you know, I was getting in the habit because I wasn't sleeping well a few months ago. And I'd find that right before I went to bed, I'm like, oh, I'm probably not going to sleep well. Well, then I wouldn't. And so I'm like, why don't you just tweak that thought? And I'm like, I'm going to have the best night's sleep. I can't wait to go to sleep. I'm going to sleep so well. And then I started sleeping better. It was like, you know, that's what you realize. It's so simple, but we don't realize the rut we get in. I think sometimes we have these kind of automatic thoughts. So like you said, you've been doing it so much that it's becoming a natural habit. It's awesome, you know?
Absolutely. I know that when I started chemotherapy over a year ago, I told my friends and family to call it healing time instead of chemotherapy.
Beautiful. That's beautiful.
Because, I mean, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, wow, there's a whole lot of drugs going in my body, mm-hmm. but they're there to heal me.
Well, and they say that the brain is the strongest thing, especially, you know, I have a beautiful friend, Stuart Frankie, who has battled cancer and all sorts of things. And I'd like to put a big prayer out to him right now. He's back in ICU he had a stroke a month ago. But so everybody pray for him. But he always told me, I was diagnosed with lobular carcinoma in situ in 2005. And I do believe that people, you know, God, the universe puts people in your path when you so need them. And I remember walking out of the cancer center just in shock and calling my husband, my ex-husband actually, and it said, we need a will. That was like my first thought. We need a will. And not even understanding that what I had, and I'm not downplaying it, but it wasn't severe. And it was easily taken care of, but it was just the shock and hearing. And Stuart happened to be standing right at the door when I walked out. And he grabbed me. He saw where I was coming out of. He grabbed me by my shoulders and he said, live, live, live. And every day he would call me and leave me a voicemail. Live, live, live. He said, the brain is so powerful. And that man has gone through everything. He literally just came out of a coma and I talked to him 3 days ago. I mean, he's got like 18 lives, I tell you. But it's because of his attitude. And he said, the brain is powerful. You can train it to heal yourself. And I think that's important for people to know.
I 100% agree. And that story gives me chills.
Yeah. And you know, so we're going to say that to you, live, live, live. And plus, we know that your purpose here is so much bigger than you probably even know. You know, just what you bring to people. I see people, how they respond to your posts. And so, you know, you and I have talked. And so I ask people all the time, in a perfect world, what would you like to do? And do you remember what your answer was?
I'm sorry, you said in a perfect world, what?
What would you like to do? You know, what would your purpose be? And do you remember what you told me? Because if you don't, I can tell.
Yes.
Okay.
To help people practice gratitude and really focus on what they do have rather than what they don't have.
Right. But we also talked about you being, a speaker. We could have you have people come and attend, right? I'm drawing a blank on the word right now. Motivational speaker. Thank you very much. And I believe that you would be an amazing, you know, motivational speaker because you've experienced so much. Do you find that people come to you with their tragedies at time because you have this gratitude, you know, personality?
I do. I get a lot of people that refer their friends to me because they say, well, my friend, their husband committed suicide, or my friend has cancer, or my friend's son is suicidal, or, you know, has a disability. And yes, I do. And I find it an honor that they consider having me work with their friends or family.
What's your approach? I mean, I know it's kind of probably different for each one, but, you know, it's a hard thing for people to lay that on you. And then how do you not take it all in, but then help them? Do you know what I mean?
I think the biggest gift I can give people is to validate their feelings because I get it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a really, I'm a good listener. Mm-hmm. I'm a reflective listener. And I'm so grateful. I just don't judge.
I don't judge
people and how they feel in the moment. Chances are I've been there.
Right.
And so they feel real safe talking to me. And oftentimes, that's the smallest gift I can give them is just letting them unload a little bit. And it really does heal me as well, because there's times I felt very alone. There were times I could not say the word suicide. I would never say that word. I felt like I had a scarlet letter. Yeah. So it's still healing to me to talk to people in similar circumstances.
Well, and I think it's really important for listeners to understand, you know, my grandfather killed himself as well when I was 8. And, you know, there is that stigma that goes with it. And it's my aunt finally, you know, brought it to my attention that he had told her, he kind of gave her a heads up ahead of time and said, you know, everyone feels certain pain, but the pain I feel, triple it, quadruple it. You know, I'm kind of ad-libbing here, but basically that the amount of pain he feels is something beyond what we can even understand. And I think that that's what we're missing with, you know, behind suicide is that compassion, that understanding, even though we don't understand, you know.
True.
And I think that that's... So if you were to give us any information in regard to things you should or should not say. You know, people get uncomfortable when you hear about suicide or cancer or autism or gay, you name it. And people have a tendency not to say things because they don't know what to say. Is there any advice you can give people where you kind of break that barrier of communication? Because I think people do want to understand and they want to be compassionate. They want to love, but what is like some of the things we should say to you, or what are the things, you know what I mean? Because some people just avoid.
Yes.
And avoidance isn't good, you know?
Yes. The best advice I can give is, first of all, yes, reach out. Yes. Send your love. Any little thing is however you feel comfortable is great. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing I would like to encourage as far as communication, it's not to use those big defining words. I do not like the word should. I don't like the word never. I don't like the word always. You know, don't tell them what they should or shouldn't do.
Right.
Don't say, you'll be fine in a year.
Oh, there's I can't no stand that. I know. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. I mean, there is no definition. There is a definition for grief, and I know there's stages. But it's so individual. So I think the best way is to be a good listener just so you're there. I have a friend that's out of town that just sends me a beautiful card once a month.
That's brilliant.
You know, I know she's there.
Right.
And
you know, that is so important, that it doesn't take much. And I think people like to fix, and you can't fix it. So you just be there and listen. And I can't believe our time is up already. But Amy, can you tell people where they can find you on Facebook? And so also
I
that
sure can.
Okay, go ahead.
And I really enjoyed this, Jill. Thank you so much.
Me too.
And my group is called Practicing Gratitude. And it is a verb, practicing. I try so hard to get everybody engaged. I try to get people thinking differently. And if anything, if you just read the post and retrain your brain, I hope it helps. Practicing gratitude.
All I know is that you helped me, and I can't be grateful enough. And I'm so glad you're in my life. And
I feel the same.
I look forward to helping you with your motivational speaking, and we're going to get you out there and sharing your story and helping people. And then we'll all be sharing the love. So Dream Big listeners, please check out Amy's Facebook page. It will help you so much, and respond to her, because that will be give and take right there. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a beautiful day.